the current diagram with the changes from last week, and also hone in on, I think, perhaps the actual approval process of the fast track, just getting a bit more of a sense of what the staff should actually do during that process. Should they be using outside experts? Should they be normally just working within their own staff resources? And also flesh out a little bit about the various appeals in the process. We've got a few places where appeals are possible, and I think we should discuss just what exactly, what form an appeal should take. And how that should be managed. So, current version of the approval process.
Bruce, it's Grant Forsyth here.
Yeah, go ahead, Grant.
I'm looking at a process which I have to say I'm not sure is the latest one. Can I just ask that the next process come out with a date on it? Or a verb?
It's a good idea.
The title.
Grant, it's on the website.
Yeah.
The 24th of March.
I think I have the last one. I just don't know that.
It's on the. It's
yeah.
on the.
But generally, just putting a version on the actual page itself, I think, is a good idea.
And the date, may I suggest?
Version and date, yes. But I think the version that, in terms of the file name, the Visio file name, is listed as version 3. And the date of the file that I had was on the 22nd of March, so it's, I think, and it was some problems I had in sending the file, so it was a few days later, I think, before I managed to actually get it sent through to the list because it was too large initially. So on the first page of the diagram,
15 metals.
Hi. So on the first page of the diagram, the main change was right at the beginning of the process. There was a link from when the registry operator makes a decision of whether or not they believe that it is part of the contract and whether they talk to ICANN or not. That there's a link down to the part of the process where if a change does impact the community in a significant way, the community can raise that issue with ICANN through an appeals process, and if ICANN subsequently finds that the change has affected the community and it's within ICANN's ability to address that, then ICANN could then request the process or request the change be reversed. And effectively we saw that action occur with the site finder example. So that was the change on the first page. On the second page,
Bruce, this is Mark Schneiders.
Yeah, go ahead, mate.
I sent an email to the list about this first page, among others.
Did you send that, Mark?
Yeah, about 2 hours ago. I know I was late. We are all late. I was wondering in this email whether the items listed there that a registry has to deliver to ICANN, you mentioned 4 points, whether this business process had anything at all to do with the task of ICANN. ICANN is into technical coordination and hardly in the market to decide whether it is sound business or not. As long as it doesn't have anything to do with monopolies and that sort of stuff.
He's referring to page 1, the very step.
Yes, in that box. Yes, that was something that I copied from the New Level submission, actually, in their public comment.
Can I comment on that, Bruce?
Yeah, go ahead, Grant.
Mark, I think at this point you should just see that as a list of typical sorts of processes or impacts. I think we can drill down into the specifics, but I would suggest that that's a good enough placeholder for what I note in your email possibly is the need to review competition issues. And again, just think of the waitlist service. That most certainly has competition issues, and so therefore the registry should explain to ICANN what it sees as the impacts, if you want to call them business impacts or competition impacts. Then that should be part of the communication from the registry to ICANN.
Yeah, if we make this mark again, if I make Bruce, if we make that note to it, I have no problems. But if we require of every registry to submit some sort of business proposal to ICANN as soon as they want to make a change, I think we are asking too much.
Yes, I don't think it's so much in terms of business proposal as in, you know, we want to do this because we think there's a market and we think that there's some money to be made in terms of a business case. I think the business process side of it can be a bit more, like WLS, just to give an example, is essentially a business process. The technical aspects of it, as in the use of, you know, it's handled via the, I believe, part of the EPP protocol is used to communicate between the registry and the registrar. And I guess another technical aspect of it could be, you know, what the service levels are, of uptime and so on. But essentially it's a business process, but the business process that then impacts on issues of competition, etc. So most changes to the registry services are mostly business processes, in my opinion. So just separating a kind of a process as opposed to a business case, which is, I'm wondering whether you're thinking more in terms of it being a business case, which then you're trying to justify it in terms of, you know, potential market and revenue opportunity and costs and so on.
Bruce?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ken, I just want to make sure I'm looking at the same thing you're looking at. What I'm looking at is a Visio attachment to an email you sent on Wednesday, March the 24th, and the Visio attachment that I have has two pages. The first page starts out with the quick look process diagrams, and the second page is a detailed review diagram. But I don't see anything in the boxes here, especially in the first few boxes, that even discuss business standpoint. Are we all? I received Mark's email, but are we?
Okay, there's actually three pages, Ken. The first page is that describes the steps where the registry may go to ICANN and discuss whether or not approval is required under the contract. And then the second page is dealing with the quick look approval process, and the third page is looking at the detailed approval process.
Okay, I apologize because I get confused because the top of the page says page 1 of 2, but that's okay. I've located it now and I appreciate it. Okay.
Yeah, it's the sort of third diagram down from the top. So I think. So does that make sense, Mark? Or did you?
Yeah, it does make sense, but I wonder whether we cannot just delete items 3 and 4 in this list of 4 points to avoid any confusion.
Okay, then just have the intent of the change and the proposed change. I think I'm fine with that as far as the diagram goes. And
because we for the future we might put some burden upon registries that is really unnecessary.
Bruce, it's Grant here.
Yeah.
I don't mind simplifying the diagram, but I believe one of the things that we will need to go back to, that will need to be quite clearly specified in the process, is just what information the registry should deliver to ICANN. Because I'm familiar with these processes, and if ICANN should just be in a position to just chuck back a request if it doesn't have enough information, and I think the sorts of information sought to be explained by your bullet points there, 1, 2, 3, 4, are the sorts of information which are required. So as long as somewhere when you get to document this diagram, we do drill down and are quite explicit as the sort of information that I'm happy with looking off the diagram.
Yeah, and I think that partly comes back to the criteria, actually, because we've, in earlier discussions that I haven't had a chance to arrange for the General Counsel to be present in the call, but in going through the criteria, if we think about the selection criteria we use, say, to get the .org registry, basically you define your selection criteria and your proposals to become the new operator, say, for .org, address those selection criteria. So what I would see is that once we are clear on what the criteria are that the ICANN staff should use to make a decision, that a request to make a change would address those criteria. So, for example, if one of the criteria was looking at whether there are competition impacts, we would expect then a submission to sort of say, you know, there are no competition impacts because of the following analysis.
Yep.
So I agree. I think we need to flesh that out, but first we need to get the criteria analysed as well. Any other questions or comments on this first page? Okay, if we go to the second page, I noticed from your email, Mark, you had some comments on the second page as well.
Yeah, Bruce, I have comments on the appeal processes in general.
Right.
Yeah, but since you mentioned already that you were going into that later, I did not bring it up now.
Okay. So let's just go roughly through what changes were made on this diagram, and then I think perhaps have a quick look at the third diagram in terms of the changes, and then we can go and talk about the appeal process. So on the second diagram, the changes that were made here, one was there is an option for the registry operator to resubmit their proposal if in ICANN's initial review they identify some issues and the registry operator has the opportunity to address those issues and resubmit before having to go into a detailed process. So on the left-hand side of the diagram, there's now a resubmit line that goes from the bottom up to the top. The other change is the fact that if the registry operator can decide that in the quick look, when ICANN's finished its quick look process and told the registry operator whether or not it believes that they would give approval, if the registry operator then has a choice to decide as to whether or not to proceed and make a change. If they decide to proceed and make a change, they would make a public announcement, you know, using their normal notice period, saying we're going to make a change. At that point, ICANN would publish its report. There would be a short public comment period on the ICANN report, and then after that comment period, ICANN would formally give its approval or not. And then at that stage, there's an appeal opportunity if people believe that ICANN hasn't made the right decision. So that's sort of far right-hand side, I guess, are the main changes to that diagram.
Bruce, it's Grant here. Can I make a suggestion? In the BC's process, we had put in the fact that in going from from ICANN giving the green light to via a short quick look process, between that time of actually giving the green light to the registry and the registry actually implementing or choosing to implement its change, if the registry wanted to take some time to do that, then no report would be issued until sometime just shortly prior to the registry operator wishing to implement their change. And the reason for that was to encourage registry operators to seek ICANN approval ahead of them actually making a change, and perhaps for commercial reasons, keeping their proposed change confidential until, as I say, the registry operator chose to implement it. Is that something we could build into this process?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure that I understand the difference between what's in the diagram and what you're proposing. In this diagram, the left-hand side of the diagram is indicating that the registry operator goes to ICANN. ICANN does some analysis.
You're quite right. I don't disagree with the process at all. From the public comment period onwards, I think when the public comment or when the report is made public, there should be the public comment period and the various decisions as you've indicated in your diagram. So I think it's fine. It really was just, I guess, to indicate that going from the registry operator to decide whether to proceed, there can be a delay in it, that's all. And this thing is not just on a continuous track.
Oh, I see.
Perhaps we come back and put the time issues in later. I'm not quite sure how you're planning to do that.
Well, would you... so you're just saying that there's a timing difference between when the registry operator decides to proceed, they don't need to immediately announce that they're going to make a change at that point because they might be doing some further analysis. Is that
correct?
What you're suggesting?
Yes, and so at that point, the fact that ICANN has done a quick review and come to the decision that a detailed review is not required,
yep.
That and whatever report they have produced to substantiate that, that is all confidential until the registry operator announces intent to make a change. So it's probably
yes.
just a break in that arrow there.
And what would I put in the break? Just that there's a time difference in there.
I think, well, that yes, that's right. That one doesn't have to immediately follow the other, I guess.
Yep, okay. I'll try and put something to that effect in that diagram.
Okay.
Any other suggestions on this?
I've got a question, Bruce, if I could, please. On
yes.
page 2, on the right-hand side of the diagram, after the registry operator announces the intent to make the change, we go to a public comment period. The next thing is a diamond that indicates ICANN decides whether to provide approval. Now, I'm a little confused because if there is a yes decision, it looked to me like there's some sort of an implication there that there would be some sort of a delay as to whether or not to, first of all, to give the ICANN community the opportunity to decide whether they want to appeal the ICANN decision. And I guess I'm somewhat confused because it would seem to me that if the ICANN board has indicated an approval, that it should go... It should be up to the registry at that point in time as to whether or not the registry wishes to implement it, and it's doing it based on the presumption is that if the ICANN board decides to provide approval at this point in time, that the registry should be able to move ahead. If we're introducing an appeal process after an affirmative decision by the ICANN board, all we're doing is adding additional time.
You still live?
Oh.
I'm here.
Oh, I think we lost Ken.
I think a lot of us lost Ken, yes.
Bruce, it's
yes.
Grant here. I understand what Ken's saying, and I actually I think that is a problem. I think certainly, again, from the BC's point of view, firstly, I don't think it's the board that's giving the approval, it's the staff.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to query, yes. I think that's right, yeah.
But if the ICANN staff, through a quick... look process, give the thumbs up, and one would hope that for many of the changes that a registry operator might seek, that would be the case. But I agree with Ken, I don't think that there should be further delay for public comment and a reconsideration, automatic reconsideration by ICANN as to approval. I think what hangs out the right-hand side takes place as any appeal can take place, but in this case it would be once the registry operator actually actions what has been approved.
I apologize. The operator intervened there. I got a recording for some reason, and I think Grant's pretty much indicated the gist of my concerns there, Bruce.
Yeah, could I just elaborate, I guess, on what my understanding is and see if it's the same. I guess the first thing is that ICANN does a preliminary report, which is entirely internal. There's been no public process in that at all. And the registry operator decides, yes, it's going to go ahead based on that. The preliminary report seems to be all fine. I guess what I've done is put in a public comment period before ICANN provides the final report, and the final report says yes or no. And so that was just the ability that there may be something that ICANN wasn't aware of, and there's a public comment period there. At that point, when the ICANN decides whether to provide approval, let's say it says yes, my assumption was the registry operator is then clear to go ahead. In other words, ICANN is basically given the permission. Then, as an independent process, there is opportunity in the ICANN bylaws for anybody to seek reconsideration. But that, as far as I know, I don't believe that ICANN has ever changed a significant decision based on one of those processes. Because reconsideration is not just, you know, we think you got the question right or wrong. Reconsideration is more along the lines that there was some piece of information or some process error in what you did.
It might clarify things if after the yes in that diagram you did put a little step that said registry operator implements change.
Yes, I can do that.
And then after that comes the ICANN community decides whether to appeal.
One more question, Bruce, or at least a comment. At this point in time, I think what we're seeing to a great extent is an interpreted understanding of what all this means. I would hope that at some point in time, very soon, we could have the general counsel take a look at this thing and see whether or not the process that we're talking about is consistent with ICANN's perspective on the contractual relationships that they have with the registries, because I'd hate to get involved in a situation where we're proposing a process that just doesn't make sense from a legal standpoint, number one. And number two is I'd like to make sure that ICANN's general counsel has the same understanding of this process and is comfortable with being able to manage it from a contractual relationship. I'd hate to go too much further without having John step in and say, you know, we've looked at this thing and we're comfortable with what we're seeing so far.
Yeah, I've actually, Bruce, if I can respond, I've actually arranged to meet with John after our call today to go over whatever changes are proposed to these diagrams and have that very discussion.
Yes, I guess what Ken's looking for also is perhaps the opportunity for the committee to hear from John just on
that's
on
correct,
issues.
Bruce. Yeah. I just don't want to get too much further down the road and then just have somebody say we've got to make a U-turn and take two steps backwards. That's all.
Yep, I think that's fine. So just clarifying, is there agreement that we need that public, I mean, one option is to remove the public comment period and basically just ICANN publishes its final report and then there's only an appeal option. But I think it is important with these things that, given that the prior part of the process is all carried out confidentially, that at the point where the registry operator wants to proceed, that there is a short period where people can sort of have a quick look at it. And if there's something that ICANN had never thought of, then they can address it then. That actually then hopefully then saves on having an appeal process later, because hopefully there's no new information that hadn't been considered. So are people okay with that public comment period there?
Well, that's what's got me somewhat confused.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out if we're doing a quick look process and the staff feels that there should be no problem with this thing. where do we stand between the next square that says I can't decide whether to provide approval or not? Are we really saying that prior to the public comment period, the staff hasn't really given approval?
Yeah,
the staff has only elected to have it move on to a public comment period before it actually gives approval, and if so, then we need to start putting some time to these squares.
Yeah.
Well, that could add a significant amount of time if you want to put another public comment period in there.
Yes.
And, you know.
Well, I think that's exactly right. Well, firstly, to answer your question, yes, it does mean that approval hasn't been given until the issue has been aired in public. So it's supposed to be ICANN's given a preliminary opinion, if you like, and then there's what I would call a short public comment period. We need to define what short means, and then ICANN gives final approval. So, yes, that is a critical question I'm asking the committee as to whether the committee members believe that public comment period is necessary in this quick look process, or whether the quick look process basically goes all the way through to approval without any public input, and then the only mechanisms after that are reconsideration.
Bruce, it's Grant here. From the BC's point of view, we actually had a quick look process that did not require a public comment period, but let me just preface that by saying that was based upon the presumption that all changes that a registry wished to make needed to be ticked off by ICANN. Now that is not the case, and we go right back to page one, the registry operator makes a choice as to whether to seek ICANN approval. We'll defer our view on whether a public comment period is required even after a quick look and come back to you by the next meeting.
What do others think? On that point.
Well,
Bruce, this is Lucy.
Yep, go ahead, Lucy.
I unfortunately don't have a copy of what we submitted, IP constituency, so I don't recall whether we had that public comment period, but I think that we'll have to defer and come back too. It would be ideal not to have the public comment period just in order to expedite things if this is supposed to be a quick look process.
Yes.
But I'm afraid if we eliminate it, it's going to cause all sorts of furor amongst the public comment group. So I think that we'll have to go back and discuss it and come back to you on that.
Okay.
Yeah, Bruce?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess what I'm confused about, and that's why I needed to have John here. Let us assume for the heck of it that the registry operator submits the proposal. The ICANN staff determines through the quick look process that it does not require a detailed review. Okay? Now, the ICANN staff then submits a report to the board. Let's leave the public comment period out for just a moment. Now, if we still have a quick look process, and if the board has to approve the change, even though it doesn't need a detailed review, then wouldn't we normally have a public comment period prior to the board approving that change anyway? Because if I recall, the modifications in the .name contract required a public comment period. And if so, then aren't we getting rather duplicitous because we're having a public comment, first of all, before the staff decides to recommend it to the board, then another public comment before the board can actually adopt it or vote on it. So
okay, the key question then is, does the board need to approve changes? And I think my impression was that it was something the staff could do, and I guess that's one of the key things to get clarification.
Yeah,
as you say, if it is actually a board decision, then it's a different connotation there.
Yeah, this is Barbara. There are some changes the board does not need to approve, and there are some changes that require board approval. So we may need to track those two different things separately.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, I won't use the term inconsistencies because I don't mean it in a negative term, but let me give you an example. In the past, the board has authorized staff to proceed with contractual negotiations on various areas. And yet, once the staff has completed the contractual negotiation, there has still been a public comment after the staff had negotiated before the board finally ratifies the contract. So I guess what I'm trying to do is avoid the nightmare where you could end up with an incredibly long period of time with two separate comment periods on the same thing. That's all.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think we need to clarify, and I'll try and seek that through from the General Counsel on just what the process is when we say ICANN needs to give approval. Because, as you say, if it's requiring the board, and then we've got to look at what are the board processes, because the board needs papers in advance, and the board needs, you know, there's public comment period and so on. So, yes, we'll need to clarify that. Okay, well, I'll leave those as questions and I'll clarify those to the list. So the questions are, do we need, essentially what we're saying is, do we need a public comment period in the quick look process? And two, we need to identify, is the board required to give approval at these changes or can the staff? And if the board has to give approval, what are the public comments requirements for the board? The other comment I would make too, I guess, Ken, is that in that diagram it depends on the length of that public comment period versus the length of an appeal process.
Right.
It could be that this is an option for allowing the ability to have some public comment. You know, let's say it was 10 days or you know, some short period, whereas an appeal process I'd imagine would be quite a bit longer. And so what you really want to do is avoid things going through an appeal process. You want to kind of air all the issues beforehand so the registry operator has a high degree of confidence that there's not going to be any problems so that they can make, you know, the necessary investments to go ahead with their change versus have an environment where it's almost guaranteed that most things will go to appeal and subsequently the registry operator wouldn't really feel comfortable making any changes at that point. So I guess that's kind of the trade-offs there. Okay, the third page, the main changes there was again giving the option for a registry operator to make changes to their proposal. So first there's an ability that in the detailed review, ICANN then produces a draft report which is provided to the registry operator. The registry operator has an opportunity to comment on that draft report, you know, correct any misunderstandings. And the registry operator can also elect to suggest changes to their proposal in light of what they've received from the process. So that's kind of the big decision triangle on the top right-hand side of the diagram, is that ICANN can then take changes suggested by the registry operator. If those changes fundamentally change the proposal, ICANN might decide to request it be re-reviewed, or if the changes are relatively minor or, you know, perhaps correct a time period or something, then ICANN can then just incorporate those changes and publish them in their preliminary report. There's then this is another one of these public comment periods. After the preliminary report, then ICANN publishes its final report, which basically indicates whether the approval is given. And again, there's the appeal processes are incorporated at this point. Are there any questions or comments on this diagram?
After the ICANN decides whether to provide approval in the yes flow, excuse me, you should insert the registry operator implements change.
Yes.
After that, on the other page.
Yep. Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay. So let's then talk a bit about the appeal processes and what that might involve. Mark, you had some comments on that?
Yeah, I had some issues with that because several instances in this diagram, there is a reference to appeal. But we all know that this appeal process within the ICANN bylaws is still not implemented. So it's sort of a promise of nothing.
So, Mark, when you say not implemented, there has been some reconsideration things. Is that different to the appeal process?
Yeah, well, I may not be up to date, but there is an ombudsman that is still not appointed. There is an appeal process for which an arbitration company or something should be appointed, which still has not happened. What sort of appeal processes are we talking about then?
Well, I guess there are two options. I guess one option is that we create a separate appeal process for this particular set of decisions, or we use the process that exists within the ICANN bylaws. The process that exists within the ICANN bylaws is quite a time-consuming process. I think it's envisaged to go for about 90 days. I'll just try and find the text just to sort of read some of that out. But there is a section in the ICANN bylaws that specifically deals with appeals of decisions of ICANN.
This is, Kiyoshi, is that the independent review process?
I'm just trying to bring up the bylaws, I think...
That seems to be, too long and fit for a different nature of problem, no? It's more like a constitutional process, if you will.
Yes, I think that's right. Can you recall what
it's
section
under
of the bylaws...
Article 4, Accountability and Review... That's where reconsideration is listed.
Okay, because there's a section 3 called Independent Review of Board Actions, and that looks like a pretty long,
serious,
heavy process.
Yeah.
Bruce, it's Grant here. I have to drop off the call, sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Grant.
So, Bruce,
this
is Lucy. Under the reconsiderations, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, this isn't necessarily, I'm sorry, Bruce, this isn't necessarily going to be a review, independent review of a board action. It may be a review of staff action.
Right, that's an important
section.
And
so I think
yeah.
Reconsideration might be the more appropriate. You're right, we need to get John's opinion on this.
I completely agree.
Yeah, so it could be a review of a board action versus a review of a staff action. There's processes in the ICANN bylaws around reviews of board actions, and there's two parts to that. There's a section that relates to the reconsideration committee, which is section 2, which is a long section.
Yeah, that section actually also covers actions by staff.
Right. And the first point of reconsideration says, ICANN shall have in place a process by which any person materially affected by an action of ICANN may request review or reconsideration of that action by the board. So presumably if it was an action by the ICANN staff, you can request that the board review or reconsider it. So reconsideration is the board doing the reconsideration, is it? Whereas the other section is that you're actually getting an independent review of the board itself.
Correct, yes.
Right. And the reconsideration bit, which is asking the board to reconsider, that looks like that's a fairly heavy process.
I think it's a very defined process. I don't actually know if it's that time-consuming or encumbering. Did you have to submit your complaint within 30 days? explain what the complaints are. The reconsideration request is posted to the website. Within 30 days, it has to give its stated intention of either declining to consider or proceeding to reconsider a reconsideration request. And then it doesn't, I don't think, have timelines on the actual reconsideration.
So, look, it may be that we use the reconsideration structure as the first basis, and what I can do is just post the excerpt from the bylaws that relate to that. Because I guess the good part about it is it defines the information that needs to be provided, and there's a fair bit of detail there. But I think probably the big issue from a registry operator point of view is how long it would take. And
well, they have to render a decision within 30 days of whether they're going to consider the reconsideration, whether they're going to take it up into reconsideration. And so, you know, we could use that as a starting point and maybe ask that, you know, they define more clearly what the steps are after that, what the time frame is after that for actual reconsideration review.
Yeah, what I might try and do is do a diagram of that existing reconsideration process from the bylaws. I'll try and draw that up into a separate diagram so that we get a sense of what the decision points and the timing is and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And use that as a basis. So does that answer some of your questions, Mark?
Yeah, Bruce, it does answer some of my questions, but I think we will not get any further until we have some clarity about these legal matters from ICANN Council.
General Council. Okay.
And I think that my constituency will have to wait to give its final opinion on these matters until we have this information.
Okay, that sounds fair. Any other comments on the reconsideration or appeal process? Ken, did you have any comments generally from the registry constituency on the issues of appeal?
We've kicked it around, but the problem is we're trying to get a little more clarity. That's why I asked to have John Jeffrey on the call. Also, I guess there's a bit of frustration in that I think that especially Jeff Newman, who originally kind of was one of the authors of the initial approach, I think there's a bit of concern that we're not quite getting as much clarity as he may have intended it. So maybe what we're hoping for would be that when the council comes on the call, we can maybe arrange to have some listen-only ports set up so that people could kind of get this information in a relatively quick time period. I think the biggest concern that I've seen so far from the registries is the concern that we're going to create a process that either takes an inordinate amount of time to get clarity on decisions or can be perverted through some sort of, I won't use the word appeal because I don't mean it that way, but could be perverted in such a way that it just gets dragged out forever. I think you know what I'm talking about because you've been involved in the past in project management, and it gets a little exasperating, so, you know.
Yeah, I think those are the key things that we have to be careful that when we're talking about public comment and appeals and so on, we're not looking at an unconstrained process that basically means that, you know, anything takes 2 years before it gets resolved. And,
right. And I think also that people have to understand that a registry is still a business. And I very much appreciate Mark's comments because I think from a practical standpoint, there are going to be business issues that registries deal with that, frankly, are outside the purview and the scope of the ICANN contract. And I think that there may be a reluctance to discuss these issues with ICANN if they feel that somebody's going to make some sort of an attempt to drag them into a process that only wastes resources, you know. I don't think somebody should be obligated to write a 20-page report on a business decision that is totally outside the scope of the contractual relationship.
Yeah, I think that's right, too. Okay, any other comments? Okay, it seems we're probably not going to make much more progress then, I think, until we then get the General Counsel on a call. And what I'll try and do is work with Barbara to schedule a call with John, and we can arrange listen-only ports for the people that want to listen into that discussion. I will, as an action, I'll update a couple of the minor updates that we talked about, like adding in explicitly at what point we believe the registry should be making a change, in other words, after the ICANN approval. I will clarify the diagram on the first page just to simplify the information the registry operator needs to provide. And I'll try and draw up a diagram of the current reconsideration process within the bylaws, which exist anyway, irrespective of actually what we do here. And so part of what I'm concerned about and that Ken's raising is if we create a separate appeal process here, regardless, the bylaws still take precedence, so then there could be another bylaw-based appeal process. So I'd rather we don't have two processes or two levels of appeal. So I'll try and capture that reconsideration process in a diagram as well as copy the text of that. And seek to set up a call probably next week with the General Counsel to go through the issues such as the criteria and get an idea of how implementable the current diagrams are from the point of view of the contractual structure. Are there any other comments or questions people have before we close the call? Okay, I'll thank everybody for attending, and we'll schedule another call next week.
Bruce, do you want to stay on the call for a minute?
Yeah, sure.